Beautiful sense of God's presence this morning. So beautiful to be together, to hear God speaking as we speak to him, as he speaks to us. Just sense that God's word is all part of our worship, isn't it? As we come with the hearts of worship this morning to hear what he has to say to us, as we open up his word. I'm so grateful to Lawrence and the team for leading us this morning. Beginning a new series this morning, and the summer holidays have started, which is really wonderful for some, isn't it? I don't know, parents sometimes are a bit like, no, another parent. It's a bit like Marie's clapping, isn't it? Some parents will be really excited to have their children home for 6 weeks, and others will be, not too sure about this. But the summer's started, and we're starting a new series that's going to take us through the summer. And it's called When God Uses Ordinary People. I like that title, When God Uses Ordinary People. We're going to be looking at ordinary women that we find in the Old Testament that are used by God, we discover, to accomplish extraordinary things. So I thought I'd start by looking up what the word ordinary means in the dictionary. And this is what it says: with no special or distinctive features, normal. Not interesting or exceptional, commonplace. Yeah, is that kind of what you'd expect for ordinary? average, normal, run-of-the-mill, typical, middle of the road, common, unremarkable, unexceptional, unpretentious, plain, simple. Is that kind of what comes to mind when you think of ordinary? Do you feel very ordinary this morning? I do. I feel very ordinary. I think most of us are pretty ordinary, aren't we, really? And you know what? We're in good company this morning. We're in good company. If you're feeling ordinary this morning, then you're in good company, because the Bible is a book full of people who are very ordinary. It follows the lives of very ordinary people, people just like you and me. And I thought, well, actually, we can often put characters in the Bible on a bit of a pedestal, can't we? From Abraham through to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we can forget that they are just ordinary people with flaws and weaknesses and failings, just like us. So over this summer, we're going to explore, as I say, various women of the Bible: Miriam, Rahab, Deborah, Ruth, Hannah, and Esther. And my challenge is, let's celebrate their ordinariness. Let's allow ourselves to identify with them and see that God loves to take very ordinary people like you and me and do something really special. So as I say, we're going to look this morning at Miriam. She was the sister of Moses and Aaron. And I discovered that we have very little information about Miriam. Maybe that means a short sermon. Well, maybe not. But we have very little about Miriam in the Bible. Just a few snapshots, interesting, at different stages of her life. But much is left to our imaginations and our ponderings. But I want to look very briefly at these three different snapshots. And the first one is in Exodus chapter 2. Many of you will probably know the story. God's people, the Israelites, are slaves in Egypt. Despite the slavery that they are in, they are growing and prospering as a people. And the king of Egypt resents them. He resents their presence. And so he oppresses them with forced labor. I'm sure many of us will remember the story of Moses being born into a Hebrew family at that time, a time when Pharaoh decreed that all Hebrew babies, boys, were to be drowned. What a horrific attempt he made to destroy the Israelite people. Well, Moses' mother was desperate to save her little baby boy. And you'll remember probably from Sunday school stories that she made a basket and she hid him among the reeds of the Nile. Now, we don't know whether Miriam was asked to watch Moses or whether she, as an older sister, was concerned for her little brother's safety. But whatever reason, we find her standing on the riverbank, keeping watch over the basket with her brother in. And that's our first introduction to Miriam. We're not told her name at that point, but she is Moses' older sister. And if you ponder, you think, well, during that awful time of oppression and slavery, Miriam was growing up watching her mother, watching her mother's faith, watching her mother's trust in Yahweh, their God, that he would take care of them, watching her obedience to God, even through all that suffering, that oppression. And so here we find Miriam, watching and waiting to see what happens. And of course, in God's plan, no other than Pharaoh's daughter comes along, doesn't she, to bathe in the river and discovers Moses in the basket. And what we notice in this story is that Miriam steps in and she steps up without any hesitation. "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she says to Pharaoh's daughter. Wow. I mean, we're probably so used to this story, we've lost the impact, but that's incredible. What courage that girl had. What tenacity and wisdom. Here we see a girl who's developing skills that she's probably seen in her mum and is discovering that she now has in herself. She finds her voice. She finds her purpose. But I think Miriam, well, I think it's probably true that Miriam has no idea of the impact of that moment, of what God is doing. She can't see the future in that moment, can she? She can't possibly know or understand the importance of the role that she has there. But she chooses to act. She chooses to be obedient and use her voice. And she steps out, doesn't she, with incredible courage. She realizes that the safety of her little brother is at stake here and that she is in the right place at the right time to actually do something about it. So she goes and calls for her mother to care for Moses. What a brilliant idea to give Moses' mother her own son to care for. Give him back to her until he's obviously old enough to go and live in the palace. So not only is this the action of a caring, devoted sister, which it is, it's also the action of a girl who is completely unfazed by the circumstances and the challenge that she finds right in front of her. And she seems somehow to be able to discern a way forward. She could have been, and I think I would have been, absolutely full of fear in that moment, but she steps out in courage, doesn't she? And when she does that, she plays a significant role in the history of Israel, because her courage enables Moses to go on eventually, as we know in the story, to enable the Israelites to be set free. But also, I think, Moses goes back to live with his mum. He goes back to be brought up in a home where he can understand his heritage and he can understand the God who... the God that they love and that he is going to choose to follow when he gets to the palace. I think we see some developing of leadership here in Miriam. She takes charge and she offers a solution to Pharaoh's daughter. We see her willing to use her voice to save her brother, to speak into the situation and to trust God that he will take her words and bring about what he has planned. And then she disappears from the story. Then we don't hear any more about her. But I'm not sure that's the whole picture at all. We don't hear from her until the Israelites are freed from slavery. We'll come on to that in a minute. I wonder why that is. I wonder why we don't hear from her. Well, we don't know. But in Micah, which is one of the prophets, the minor prophets, in chapter 6, we discover how God sees Miriam. Micah the prophet, he's a contemporary of Isaiah and Hosea, and he speaks God's word to the people, and he says that God says, "I brought you Israelites up out of Egypt, redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam." I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. So we don't know what Miriam was doing in those silent years as her brother is being used so powerfully. We know all about Moses, don't we? But she too is remembered by God as a leader of her people. And I think this helps us to understand our reading that we come to today, which is the next brief snapshot that Scripture gives us of this ordinary woman's life. So sorry that that seems like rather a long introduction, but here we are at the reading that we are to look at today. And it's in Exodus chapter 15, which is, as I say, in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, just the second book in the Bible, chapter 15. So if you have a Bible, do turn with me. You'll know the story. The Israelites have been dramatically set free from slavery by God's power. They're safely across the Red Sea. Marie helped us explore this, didn't she, just now? They crossed on dry ground, and as they stand on the safety of the shore, they see the sea come back over the Egyptians who are in hot pursuit of them. And God's word says this: "When Pharaoh's horses, chariots and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, 'Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and rider he has hurled into the sea.'" This is a lot more than just somebody who's excited in worship. Did you notice? This is Miriam the prophet. Miriam is recognized now as a leader, as a prophet. She's stepping in, if you like, stepping up, using her voice. You can imagine now she's a matured voice and much more experienced than what we saw in the previous snapshot. She's a grown woman now. We see a woman who has been nurturing the gifts that God gave her in the shadows until now she is invited to use that voice again by God. This is the girl, Miriam, who stepped in and stepped out to use her voice to save her brother. She saw how God had done that. She looks back and she's seen how God has been faithful all through her life. When she spoke up at that time and used her voice, she changed the trajectory of a whole nation through her actions. She looks back and she sees how God has been faithful. And I think through these years of silence, she's had to dig deep, hasn't she? She's had to keep trusting in the promises of God. She's had to keep holding on to Yahweh, as she's seen her parents and probably her grandparents do before her, trusting one day through all that oppression and slavery that one day God would deliver them, as he had always promised his people he was. And here, right now, we find her standing in that promise, standing now as a prophet, chosen to hear God's word and share it with the people, chosen to lead God's people. She is the one given wisdom and insight of the things of God so that she can share them with others. And here she is as a prophet, singing and dancing and playing her tambourine, and all the women follow her. "Sing to the Lord," she shouts, "for he is highly exalted." She looks back and she sees that God has been with her all the time, faithfully working out his purposes. And she speaks it out, sings it out over all of the people. He's the one that's rescued them. He's the one, not her brother. He is the one. God is the one that has destroyed their enemy. She steps in and she steps up and she calls all of the women to follow her in this echo of her brother's words, proclaiming God is faithful, proclaiming that he always will be. She is the most vibrant and prophetic worship leader here. She is trusted by the people. I think we can often miss Miriam, her little cameos, because Moses, rightly, the great leader of the people, but she is the first female prophetess in the Bible. We see her leadership here, her courage, her spiritual insight. What courage she's taken to step in and step up, to use her voice in this particular society, to be obedient to what God has called her to do, to recognize that calling on her life. She responds to the work of the Spirit within her to lead the women in declaring the faithfulness of God. Such a significant moment in their history. Her role is as a leader is so important. She provides this precedent for female spiritual leadership in ancient Israel. She's a leader of worship. And let's not miss the importance of sung worship as we see it here in this moment in history, prophetically speaking out, singing out God's word, God's work to his people, to his world today. And as a challenge, let's remember to pray for those who lead worship in our church here, who lead us and prophetically sing of God's goodness and love and encourage us as they have done today. Let's pray for them and their role within our church family. So what can we learn from these little cameos of Miriam today? Well, that we all, like Miriam, have a purpose, a God-given purpose. We all have gifts to share. As I said, I don't think Miriam would have been aware when she was a young girl of her, as she was hiding there in that riverbank, of what God was doing, of how God had gifted her. But she was aware, and I hope we are aware, of a God who loved her, a God who loved her people, a God who was faithful, a God who could be trusted to do the impossible. And so, because she knew who God was, she was willing to step in, step up to all that he had for her. And I wonder how willing we are to do that today. How willing are we to step in and step up to all that God has for us? But Miriam discovered this on the journey. It wasn't a moment of revelation. It was an ongoing journey. And I think that's true for many of us, isn't it? As we journey with God, we look back and we can see over circumstances how God has been developing gifts and personality within us. How God was using our ordinariness, if you like, to shape his purposes in us. I think Miriam is a huge encouragement to us today of what God can do in our ordinary, everyday lives. But for a moment, I want to say a huge encouragement, particularly to us as women, that God has a purpose for us as women, and he will work his purposes out in us. So our challenge is to be open and available and willing to be obedient when he calls, when he speaks to us. I've used this phrase several times on purpose, but the challenge is for us to step in into what God is doing in us and also all that he has for us, to step into it, but also to step up with confidence, maybe with courage, as women to what God is calling us to do today. But to all of us, not just to women, we can learn so much from this amazing woman of God as we seek to be ordinary and allow God to use us, whether it be in prophetic worship leading or spiritual leadership or wisdom or protecting and caring for our family. Let's allow those gifts to grow within us and be used by God. And finally, I just want to say that we all have a voice, and we learn that from Miriam. Miriam shows us what God can do when we're willing to use our voice to speak up for him. Her choice to speak up to Pharaoh's daughter wasn't only courageous, but as I said, it was crucial in shaping God's plans for his people. So how important or valuable or significant do I think my voice is? How important, valuable, significant do you think your voice is? How many times have I stayed quiet when I felt I could have offered something to a conversation? How many times have I allowed others to silence me because they, or maybe I, have not valued my voice? How many times have I held back from using my voice, perhaps in worship, because I've been struggling or doubting or tired, and I've withdrawn rather than offering a sacrifice of praise? You know, in both of our snapshots that we've seen of Miriam so far, we've seen her use her voice each time, haven't we? She obviously recognized that she had value, that her voice had value and needed to be heard. And aren't we grateful that she did? She was obedient to God. But, you know, there's one more snapshot in the Bible, and we're nearly there, of Miriam's life. And it's where Miriam uses her voice to hurt rather than to bless. And in that, there's a challenge too, isn't there, about how we use the voice that God has given to us. We won't read it, but in Numbers 12, we read of Miriam and Aaron grumbling. They grumble and moan about Moses and his leadership. You know, Miriam became bitter and resentful of her brother's authority. And she started to moan and grumble and complain. And I just feel there's one more challenge in there for me, for us. Because we can use our voices to build others up, can't we? To worship God, to speak prophetically, to do all of those things. Or we can use our voices negatively and end up tearing others and ourselves down. So we can use our voice to worship God in song, to speak of his faithfulness, to lead a home group, to serve as a trustee, to prophesy or pray or speak in tongues. Or we can use it to grumble and complain and hurt people and tear down. And as I was thinking of that, I remembered Paul's words in 1 Corinthians. We can all have the gifts of the Spirit. We can all have these things. But if we don't have love, we're but a clanging cymbal and a resounding gong. I don't want my voice to be like that, do you? Let's hear Miriam's challenge about how we use our voice. So, just to close, jump forward 1,500 years or thereabouts, and you find another very ordinary woman. Her name was Mary, and she used her voice to say yes to God when he asked her to carry the Saviour of the world in her womb. God chose to bring about the rescue of the whole world from slavery, this time from slavery to sin, to free us from the enemy that keeps us from knowing freedom. God used the voice of that very ordinary woman who said yes. An ordinary woman who was willing to surrender herself to God. And of course, Mary also sang, didn't she, in worship, in the great, that famous Magnificat, when she spoke of God's faithfulness and she spoke of salvation through her son. So Miriam, Mary, so many ordinary people who use their voice to say yes to God, to worship him, to be obedient to his call. So what is God asking you and me, another very ordinary, everyday, average, run-of-the-mill, etc. person to do? How is he asking you today to use your voice for him? A very ordinary lady who's taught us an awful lot, taught me an awful lot this week as I explored how she used her voice. And I'm always amazed at God and how he just works beyond us. And Guy came and shared something with me while we were worshipping. And I said, oh, I think you've just summarised my sermon. He had no idea what I was speaking on. But Guy, I wonder if you'd come and share. Because I think it follows on really beautifully. And maybe the worship band could come back up and take us on as we continue in our worship. But let's hear what God has to say to us. Guy, thank you so much.
During the worship, I just had a picture, an evolving picture, firstly of a chrysalis and then a butterfly beginning to be released from the chrysalis. One wing first, then over time another wing. And then it flew, and then more and more butterflies. And then the word God put on my heart was, I want to express myself through you. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit wants to express himself through us. And I felt at the same time, this word was particularly for people who are creative and for whatever reason have stopped being creative. He wants still to express himself through us. I felt it was for people who yet need to speak up in particular situations. I want to express myself through you. And finally, those who think they may have spiritual gifts, God's saying, I want to express myself through you.
Thank you so much. I just feel, you know, we've had a challenge about how we will use our voice, how we will express ourselves. There's that beautiful picture if you're feeling like you're kind of caught, that God wants to set you free, to be able to use your voice, be able to use your gifts, your creativity, to serve him and know freedom in him. So let's just be still for a minute, shall we? Allow God to plant whatever he wants to water in our hearts that we've heard today before Lawrence and the team lead us on in worship.